Yesterday, the Lord made it clear to us that for us to continue to enjoy our liberty, that Christ did everything to attain for us, we must live a life of obedience. We must follow the example of Jesus, who, despite the fact that he has everything in common with the Father, humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. He took the apron of a servant and he obeyed the Father to the letters, even to die as a criminal. It is very, very important for us to discover God's purpose in all things and strictly pursue it, because therein lies our victory, the sustenance of our victory. And it is my prayer that each and every one of us, separately and then collectively as a church, we will pursue a life that is dedicating to doing the will of God when it is convenient, when it is not convenient, in the name of Jesus Christ. Obedience has a twin brother, and the brother of obedience is service. And so tonight, the Lord will want us to speak on acceptable service, an antidote to a life of captivity. Acceptable service, an antidote to a life of captivity. There is no doubt that our liberty is assured and guaranteed in Christ. But you see, God is God of purpose. God will never do anything without a purpose. Our liberty inclusive. Our liberty in Christ is for a purpose. And that purpose must be fully fulfilled and accomplished. Liberty in Christ is a call to service and faithful discharge of our stewardship responsibilities. And as long as we are committed to this, in all sincerity, fervency of the Spirit, we can be sure nothing will be able to hold us captive. We will live perpetually in the realm of freedom. And we must know quickly again that our redemption in Christ Jesus is that we will be able to really serve the Almighty God. Of course, even in creation, when God created man, gave him his life, Genesis 2:7, in verse 8 to 14, gave him accommodation and every good thing for life and living. When we get to verse 15, he was given a responsibility of service. Maybe we need to quickly look at Genesis again, because it is the book of the beginnings. And as people of the book, we must ensure that we know the scripture and apply the scriptures into our lives. Verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Then verse 8 says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." God built an estate in Eden, and put the man he has created, you will see all the facilities, the services that makes the estate a worthy place to live and a comfortable place for Mr. and Mrs. Adam to live. Verse 8 to verse 14, I won't bother to read, but you can just explore that when you get back to the house. In verse 15, the Bible says, then, and you know then, after he has provided all these good things of life, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. That suggests an assignment. Something to do. And in verse 18, we discover again that this issue of something to do was so paramount in the heart of God, to the extent that when God saw a kind of deficiency that would not make service to be highly productive, God intervened immediately. Look at it. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. You don't give a helper to an idle person. Now, a helper is an assistant, a partaker in a particular body, somebody you share with. And in Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, two is better than one because they have a greater reward. So productivity is so paramount in the heart of God. And so he gave a helper to Adam. And not just a helper. He said a helper that is customized for him, suitable, comparable to him. God was not just doing that for fun. There is an expectation that the man he has created and he has given every privilege and opportunity would do something for him. So he gave him the home. And we have to take note of that. Our marriages are a means to an end. They are not an end in themselves. It is the love and the desire of God to see us perform excellently well that he gave us a customized helper. Now, why are we exploring all of those? I said that even in creation, we are created not just to come and occupy a space and be idle. No. We are created and we are given every opportunity and privileges that we might do to serve the living God. In redemption, the same thing. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our salvation, our redemption was for a purpose, that we might serve God, that we might maximize every potential he has given us or endow us to serve his purpose. So, in redemption, it is established. Of course, in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, you will still see it there. He said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. That is still indicating to us that when we were redeemed and we were saved by God, He has a purpose, and that purpose is that we will serve Him. So, our liberty in Christ is to allow for acceptable service unto the Lord. In Luke chapter 1, verse 74, we will still see that. He said, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear. Verse 75, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. In fact, the scope of our service is the entire lifespan. Said that we might serve Him without fear all the days of our lives. Every space of day that God will allow us to spend on earth, after He has broken the yoke of slavery, God is expecting that it will be dedicated to serving His purpose. Having seen all of this, we need to really prepare our hearts. At Jubilee, we must be willing and ready to serve God. Because serving God is the reason for our liberation. And when we look at the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He came to save and to serve. So the Lord of glory Himself was never idle when He came. In Mark 10 verse 45, He said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. When you look at the order of precedence there, you will see that the issue of service came ahead of even giving His life as a ransom. And even giving His life as a ransom is still part of the service He rendered to humanity. Why are we trying to do this preamble? It is to really instigate our hearts that as we enter our Jubilee, God is expecting that we will devote all our lives and everything He has endowed us to serve His purpose. And back to Israel again as our case study, outside Adam and Eve. In the passage that was read to us, Exodus chapter 4, verse 22 and verse 23, the purpose of God in setting them free was expressly written. Look at it. Then you will say to Pharaoh, that is Moses now, God speaking to him, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. Go and tell Pharaoh that these people he is having in his custody, they are my firstborn. And I'm liberating them for a purpose. Let my son go, that he may serve me. Some other versions may say, worship me. Serve me. The matter became more critical when God said, if Pharaoh should refuse, See what he's going to do. Said, but if you refuse to let him go, indeed, I will kill your son, your firstborn. Do you see how serious the matter is? Said, look, if you refuse to let them go so that they will go and serve me, there is a repercussion. And that repercussion is that I'm going to kill your firstborn. I'm sure you know the position of a firstborn. God will hit Pharaoh where it is very, very serious. I want you to begin to imagine, what is this that God will now kill somebody, even kill his firstborn? Then it is saying something to us that after we have been liberated, there is a responsibility that is placed on our shoulders, and it is the responsibility of service. I became very afraid that, look, whoever will prevent anybody from serving God, God is ready to hit that person hard. And I prophesy into your lives, whatsoever or whosoever will prevent you from serving God, God will hit them hard. See, where did pastor bring this man that will pronounce a curse? Am I the one who said he's going to hit them hard? Is it not God? God doesn't joke when it comes to purpose. Look, when he was speaking to Jeremiah, he said, I've made you a fortified city. Why will he make him a fortified city? To go and be entertaining people? Or to be sleeping in his house, snoring? There is an assignment for Jeremiah. And he told Jeremiah, even if you will be afraid, I will terrify you before these people, because I'm serious about what I'm set to do. Church, let me announce to you, at Jubilee, God is recruiting you for service, acceptable service for that matter. At Jubilee, God is depending on you. God is looking for men and women who he will dispatch on purpose, and is ready to do anything to make sure that nothing hinders us. That is the implication of, if you refuse, Pharaoh, to let them go, indeed, I will kill your son. That's a serious matter. People of God, in Exodus 23, verse 25, this issue of how paramount service is to God came forth again. And here it was a promise. It said, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. You are saying amen now. The place is coming. The other time when they were reading the scriptures, everything became still. When the other side was being, praise the Lord. You can just imagine. You can see the provision again, just as it was to Adam and Eve. God was saying the same thing to the house of Israel here. He said, look, You just serve me, and I will bless your bread and your water. I will take sickness away from the midst of you. You won't suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days, and I will take care of your enemies. All of these are pointers to the fact that God is passionate about serving him. However, those that are liberated must be careful. As soon as liberation comes and we begin to live a life of obedience, blessings will follow. That's the promise of God to the people. And you see that in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 14. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And he started to highlight the blessings. Let me quickly remark again. Jubilee will provoke harvest of blessings. As we continue to obey the Lord, obedience and blessings, they are like sides of a coin. Wherever obedience is, there is a blessing there. And that is why the most dangerous word a man should run away from is disobedience. Because wherever there is disobedience, then there is no blessing. And if there is no blessing, life is not worth living at all. So, God spoke to them. And I'm prophesying into your life today as a congregation. At Jubilee, as you continue to obey the Lord, blessings shall run after you. God's goodness and mercy shall follow you. You will not be seeking them, but they will be seeking you out. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not working to be blessed. We are working because we have been blessed. Do you understand that? You must know that you are not working to be blessed. When God created man, he already pronounced blessing upon his life, isn't it? Genesis 1:28. And I must tell you quickly, in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 said, we have been blessed with all blessings in the spiritual places. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 14, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Why? So that the blessings of Abraham can come upon us. You are not working. Stop working to be blessed. Stop working to be blessed. Stop working to be blessed. But keep on living so that you can be blessed. Walk in obedience. Serve God's purpose. And the blessings of God will come upon your life. You need to look for what God has blessed and begin to do, rather than asking God to bless what you are doing. Do we understand that also? A man of blessing should seek what God has blessed and put his hand on, and then God said he will prosper. If you are doing what God has not blessed, you will labor. You remember what God told Adam, Genesis chapter 3. Said, out of the sweat of your brow, you will till. He cursed the ground. Said, before you get anything out of it, look, you are going to do like this. But liberty came in Christ. So, God said, He will prosper them. Let's check the scriptures. If what I'm saying is correct as per the children of Israel, look at Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1 to 6. But let me just read, from verse 3. Okay, let's start from verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts. And this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require of it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed by your brother, except when there may be no poor among you. For the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance. Only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. For the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. God affirming this issue of blessing as long as they continue to obey him. Maybe you are not satisfied with that. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. And let me read from verse 7. It said, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Do you see the picture of what the inheritance of Israel will be after their liberation from Egypt? And this is the picture of what God is set to do, that he has perfected in Christ Jesus. So, know it, that obedience will bring blessings. But the blessed is expected to be a blessing. Do you understand that? God spoke to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. He said to him, he will bless him and he will be a blessing. Until a man becomes a blessing, whatsoever is called blessing as not really. He said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed through you. That means there will be a flowing out of God's goodness. And when we are using blessings here, we are talking of every God-given endowment. And everything that is an endowment of God must be dispensed for his glory. Because for that reason, he liberated us. So, blessings or endowments of God were supposed to be a means to an end, not an end in themselves, just like marriage. And they were never meant to be used for personal enjoyment, or that they will become a license for us to ignore God or disconnect from him. There is an hidden issue there, that endowments or blessings have the propensity to disconnect a man from God if he's not careful. Did you hear what I said? Whatsoever God released into a man's life, if he's not careful, there is that tendency for such things to disconnect them or take them away from God. Maybe I should show you from the scriptures. Look at Deuteronomy. The Bible says that after we have been blessed, a time should not come when we forsake God, forget Him. Deuteronomy chapter 4, I think verse 18. No, Deuteronomy 18 or so. I will get it right. 8:18, thank you. Let's look at it. Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Look at that. Embedded in what God is saying there is the tendency for a man, after he is liberated, to think that, yes, he owns himself and he owns everything. That was what happened to Solomon. You remember Solomon? Solomon David. An encyclopedia of wisdom that never applied any. There was prosperity. There was abundance. When you read Ecclesiastes, you now see what this man is trying to do. When he became so well, he said, okay, let me try eating. He ate. Let me try wine. Let me build orchard. Let me... That of women, he did it extraordinarily. 1,000 women was credited to this man's account. 1,000 women. When we get to 1 Kings chapter 11, the Bible says it was these same women that tuned his heart away from God. What are we saying? We are saying that as we are liberated and we begin to work to please the Lord, there will be abundance, there will be sufficiency, grace will be released upon our lives in all its diversities. But when they come, it is meant to serve God's purpose. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, the Bible says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Did you get that? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19, said, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Whatsoever liberty and obedience we offer us now, they are temporal. But service we offer us that which is eternal. Are you getting the two sides now? So, I walk in obedience, praise the Lord, and the Lord will bless me, the Lord will prosper me, the Lord will do everything. Yes, but the other side must come along with it. So that abundant life on earth and eternal life, when we cross to the other side, there is yet another life after this life. Oh. And we are passing this way but once. God is going to wipe off everything that is here, and is going to establish a new earth, a new heaven. We are going to drop this mortal body to pick immortal bodies. But the only thing that will make us to be able to really dwell on the other side with our shoulders raised is the fact that we have used our freedom here on earth to serve God's purpose. Do you remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man? The man was not preparing for eternity, and there was eternal bondage. So, the text we now read, Deuteronomy 28, 47 to 48, shows us how powerful an insurance can service be. Let's go back to that passage now, because that is the main issue, the main thesis. He said, but he's saying it from a negative perspective. That's why you didn't say amen the other time. He said, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Now, the other time he was saying, you will serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your water. He will take sickness away from you. He will do this. And he even said, Pharaoh, if you don't allow these people to go, I'm going to kill your son, even your firstborn. But now, the story is changing. Why? In between the point of deliverance and the time of experience of all the booties of deliverance, there is something to do. Service. Am I speaking clearly to you tonight? If you understood all what I've said, wave your hand, let me see. All right, praise God. He's saying that if anyone, after they have been liberated and they have been released into harvest of God's goodness, will now not serve his purpose, then there's going to be trouble. There's going to be a second round captivity. And the second round captivity can be a very terrible and devastating one. Why? Look at how God described it. He said, therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you. The first thing is that it is the Lord that is going to commission the enemy. Now, if an enemy comes by itself, we cry unto God. Abi? Now, if God now commissioned the enemy to come and enslave, who are you going to call upon? That makes it a very serious issue. If somebody receives the mandate of God to go and do something, I don't know who can revoke that order. Go and ask Job. When the devil got permission to deal with him, It was devastating. Look, don't toy with God. Don't toy with God at all, at all, at all. In fact, the Bible describes him as a consuming fire. Paul said, "For we know the terror of God, we persuade men." And I'm persuading you people tonight that as soon as you enter into your jubilee and you are walking in obedience and the blessings of God in all his diversities begin to flow, remember the reason why those things are coming: to serve God. Look, it would be foolish for me to come all the way that distance to begin to put a soothing balm on a wound that is already decaying. You know, when you have a swollen part with pus, there could be pain. And you are now rubbing soothing balm on it. No, you should have cut so that all those pus will come out. When the pus is fully out, there will be comfort, isn't it? That is why tonight it looks like my scalpel is becoming too sharp. The enemy who will come and enslave will be commissioned by God. As if that will not be alone. He said he's going to send hunger. When somebody is in slavery, maybe in Egypt, they were giving them cucumber and melon. This time around, he talks about thirst. He talks about nakedness. Nakedness there is a symbol of shame and ridicule. That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. And he said, in need of everything. And what is everything? Everything is everything. There's one advert I used to watch in recent times. He will borrow this, borrow that, borrow that, borrow that. He's in need of everything. Even borrow data. He's in need of everything. Look, you see, when God is not a jester, it's not a clown. Every word that comes out of the Lord's mouth carries weight, and it carries the potential of performance. The Bible says, for every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, there shall be performance. And that is why we have to strive. Said, he will put a yoke of iron. If it's a yoke of wood, after some time, the wood can get dry and then become light and be broken. Before iron will break, it will even break the neck. Until he has destroyed. This is a serious matter. Then I now saw that there is an antidote to this. Look at the construction. No, it is not even finished. Look at verse 49. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand. In other words, you won't be able to plead. You won't be able to say a jaw. You won't be able to. He will not accept anything. Even by the time you are saying what you are saying, he will think you are cursing him, and then he will flare up again. The Lord will help us that we will not enter into this kind of thing. But for it not to be, God is sending me to you tonight. That service is a way to checkmate second round captivity, slavery. The moment we are free and God begin to roll out things that will make life worthwhile, it is for a purpose. When there is outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord and gift of the Spirit are being released, it is not to confront pastoral leadership. It is to serve God. Yes, I have a ministry now. Then we go and put one bogus sample somewhere. Somebody who's supposed to be serving God within the assembly. Dispensing grace for the growth, enlargement, multiplication. You say, yes, 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 receive a ministry now. Man of God has come. When God is activating skills, talents, and potential, it is not to fatten ourselves, but to be a blessing to this generation. God will not send angels to come and fix this nation for us. You are the light, you are the salt. You are God's instrument. He said, you are my battle axes. When God begins to bring material wealth, it is to serve his purpose. When God is bringing position of authority, it is to serve his purpose. Can you just imagine Esther, little Esther? And he rescued a whole nation. When she was trying to be a queen, he said, look, 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 look. If you don't know, it may be for a time like this that you become a queen. If you don't do anything, help will come from somewhere else, but you will suffer for it. And the girl summoned courage, and a whole nation was rescued. Who knows that the one who is going to fix the political situation of this, the political problem, is sitting here tonight? Who knows the one who is going to bring succor to this nation economically, a technocrat, is sitting here tonight? Who knows that that man who will provide a solution to HIV is sitting here tonight? Because at Liberty, God pours grace. But it's not going to be for fame. It's not going to be for pleasure. It's going to be for his glory. And when that is being done, you are erecting a barricade against captivity. You are cutting short the hand of the enemy. You are making provision for eternity, because that is the only thing that will follow you. Salvation is free, but reward in heaven, you will have to earn it. People of God, I have a body in my heart that I might not be able to express with words tonight. That God will be depending on you. As an individual, God will be depending on you. As families, God will be depending on you. As a church, to serve his purpose. And when you are doing that, you are not doing it for nothing. It is a cover. It is a shield against second round captivity, which can be very devastating. The Bible talks about second death. What captivity is greater than that? That one will be eternally separated from God. Let me announce to you, every unprofitable servant is going to be a partaker of second death. Because Jesus said, take that unprofitable servant, bind him, and throw him into utter darkness, where there is gnashing of teeth. Where else is gnashing of teeth? Hell. You now know the reason why we say we are not going to serve our enemy. As we are singing the other time, only you I will serve. There is no other God. Prepare your hearts. Guard your loins. Shield yourself against oppression, affliction, through acceptable service unto the Lord. Maximize everything that God is going to release into your life at Jubilee for the glory of his name. And when that is done, look, there is no evil that can befall you. You know, when God was talking of tithe, just tithe, what did he say tithe will do? It will crush every devourer, isn't it? Now, if you are not doing that, what is going to happen? Devourers will swallow you up. That is just one way of serving. Do you understand that? And every other thing that we do, as we dispense God's grace. However, it has to be an acceptable service. It is a pity that Israel failed. And from Egypt, they went to Babylon. And of course, today, if not for the mercy of God, they lost out. They were a privileged nation. They had God, the voice of God like this. With mighty hands, he rescued them from Israel. He gave them, nobody was able to prevail over them. But when the booties of Jubilee came, they messed it up. And God said, okay, you will go. And when they got there, you know, there are some false prophets, and there will always be prophets, false prophets. They say, no. He will soon return. He told Jeremiah, go and tell them, be one by four, TSA, 70 years here. So they should marry. They should buy land because it's going to take 70 years. And today, we see what has become of them. It was their failure that gave birth to the church. Will the church fail? There is no other thing God will do again. Jesus came once and for all. The time he will come next is going to come as the lion of the tribe of Judah. The Father loved the Son, and he has committed the judgment unto his hand. So nobody can run away from Jesus twice. If you run away from here on earth, you are still going to come and meet him. But beloved of God, this plan of God is just too wonderful for us to miss. This plan of God, this purpose of God is too enticing for us to just wave like this. And because several that have entered their jubilee, they have not been serving God. Some have started to serve their enemies. Some are serving sickness. They carry them here and there, no show. Some are serving inflation. Put money in bank. And before you know it, the purchasing power. Stock crashed. Bonds. Economy, shamble. Recession. All manners of name. But the promise of God stands for those who are serving him. He said they will not be ashamed in the evil time and in the days of famine. What's going to happen? They shall be satisfied. The key to it is serving God. Many are serving social vices. Many of our young people today, because they have not learned to serve God, they are serving the devil. But tonight, God is going to be gracious to us. And I want you to take note of this. Serve God. In the day of your liberty, commit your time, commit your gifts, commit your wealth, commit your personality, commit your position, commit everything that God into his service. Let me quickly highlight to you the qualities or the attributes of an acceptable service, and then we will close. Because it is not every service that is acceptable to the Lord. Some are born out of showmanship. Some are born out of insincerity. Some are born out of self. Just wanting to please self. But the service that will be acceptable to the Lord, number one, must originate in God. Whatsoever you'll be doing, it is God that will initiate it. Be sure that you are not just doing anything. Genesis 1:26. Number two, it must of necessity fit into God's purpose. Anything you do that does not fit into God's purpose will not be acceptable to him. Then, number three, it must be done by God himself. You know, the Bible says it is God that works in us to do his will and good pleasure. That is where you need the life of Jesus. You have to allow Jesus to live his life inside of you, prompting you, energizing you, guiding you into what to do. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Mark 16:20. Number four, they are works done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Anything that is born of the flesh is flesh. Anything that emanates from the flesh is not acceptable to God. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says it's not going to be by might, it's not going to be by power, but by spirit. Works that are motivated and carried out by the enablement that comes from the Holy Spirit. This qualifies your service to be acceptable to him. I'm sure tonight God has spoken to you. We have to heed this warning. This is the time of grace. God cannot do that one again. This is grace. 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 Look, the Israelites, they were talking of Abraham, talking about the temple. Just like we are talking about grace now. Grace. Grace. Where is Ananias and Sapphira today? Eh? Was it not in time of grace? Where are people like Demas? Beloved of God. I want to inform you, and please be informed, that service is an antidote to a life of captivity. Can we rise up and let's talk to the Lord tonight?